means on a regular basis you're participating in communication with your God. Incessantly, without stopping. So communicate with your God on a regular, ongoing basis without interruption. In other words, stay connected with Him. Don't bypass the opportunity to speak with Him. The Old Testament reflected it repeatedly. Psalm 88:1, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried how long? Day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee, incline Thine ear unto my cry. You can see that's King James Version. For Romans 1:9 in the New Testament, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. And you see the scriptural emphasis throughout the Bible. Daily, morning, noon, and night. We see always, repeatedly, men ought always to pray and not to faint. We see continuing steadfastly in prayer in the New Testament. Earnestly continuing in prayer. Always laboring in prayer. So when He says pray without ceasing, it's not just a one verse in the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. You see it from beginning to end. In fact, I think that God was quite grieved the moment that Adam and Eve sinned, not only because they were separated, but now their communication was severed. They could not have that ongoing fellowship and relationship, as sinners now had to be separated from a holy and righteous God. Stay connected to God in prayer. Now, what ways to continue to pray without ceasing? It encourages your fellowship with the Lord. It enhances your spiritual transformation. In other words, when you're talking to any individual, because God has made us relational creatures with a soul, and we can express our feelings and our intellect, and we can retain information and pass that on. We're relational people. So when we relate and we talk and we communicate with others, we're drawn closer to them in fellowship and relationship. It's the same with God. It encourages our walk with Him, our fellowship with Him. It enhances your change because you're drawing near to Him. Fellowship with our God is encouraged by our relationship with Him. You're always in the family of God. Galatians 3:26, through faith and faith alone, we're children of God. However, this fellowship is ongoing. We're walking by faith in the Word of God. We're responding again to our God in prayer. And so we walk in fellowship with Him on an ongoing basis, and He's going to encourage that. That fellowship is going to encourage. It's a catalyst, and it draws us to Him. Again, the Christian life is an ongoing grace fellowship with Him in prayer and in communication, and our position in Christ through the Holy Spirit enables us. Now, is prayer important to God? Yes! He includes it everywhere in the Scriptures. And in fact, from beginning to end, we can see prayer. Adam and Eve in the garden with God were communicating with Him. The second to the last verse of the Bible is, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And John is communicating to the Lord at the end of the book. In fact, prayer is something that we can start today, and we can continue it right into eternity, even in our new glorified bodies. So pray without ceasing. Stay connected with your Savior. You can also enjoy this in the form of worship. In your worship, your praise, and your giving of thanks to the Lord. Today when we were singing, did you reflect on the Lord? Did you even communicate with Him at all in our worship time here? That's one way you can respond. Amen in your mind, Lord. I'm so encouraged by what You have done for me. I praise You. I uplift You. Praise again is lifting up the Lord. In the New Testament, we see that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. How often? Continually. What is that? Praise to God from our lips. And we do it even through giving of thanks to His name. Continually. pray without ceasing in worship and communication. How did you do this week, those of you who were with us last Wednesday night and studied? Were there times where you found yourself enjoying an ongoing, uninterrupted fellowship with Him in prayer? I hope so. And over time, we can grow in this. We're just learning continually. Thank you, Lord, expressing that. We worked years trying to teach our children to respond in appreciation. Wow, somebody actually did that for me. Thank you. And as we see what God has done, we're responding the same way. Also, we looked at last week, when you intercede for others. When you intercede for others means that you pray for others. Would you please go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. While the men and women are in Nicaragua, we can pray for them. Actually, I look at it this way. I'm with them in prayer on this trip. And the more information I receive, the better I can pray accurately to their needs. But in general, I know some of their needs, and I can pray without even receiving feedback until they come back. I pray by faith. And here we see Paul praying for Timothy. And he says in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. What does he say here? I'm going to intercede for you two ways, he says it here. Without ceasing, verse 3, and at the end of verse 3, my prayers night and day. Let me just say thank you for those of you who have prayed when I've been on a missions trip. I sense it, not in a mystical way. But you sense that ongoing strength that supernaturally God just keeps giving you to put one foot in front of each other, to think when you're tired, and to continue on, or to give you solid rest when you need it, to give you ability to discern the situation. A number of ways you can sense it or look back in your rearview mirror over time and say, wow, the Lord was really faithful there. So Paul is saying here, I'm going to intercede for you, Timothy. How often? Without ceasing. Night and day. And I'm not sure if he set time aside, night or day, to pray, but that could be surmised there, that he actually took time to labor in prayer night and day. Now also, in the Old Testament, we saw 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, far be it from me, Samuel said, that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, the Israelites, who had chosen a king against the Lord's will, but the Lord permitted it, and they received Saul, who started out well and ended horribly as he turned from the Lord. And in his end, he tried to intercede and pray to the Lord, and the Lord didn't listen to him, didn't listen to Saul, didn't answer Saul. So he went to a medium, the witch of Endor, and the Lord sent the spirit of Samuel even to intercede. It was very phenomenal, once occurrence, haven't seen it in the Bible since, but a very unique phenomenon, and that the Lord answered or actually appeared to Saul with the spirit of Samuel. And so Samuel says, I'm not going to sin against the Lord by stopping praying for you. That's prayer without ceasing. Can your prayers really make a difference? Oh my goodness. Look at James chapter 5 again. We're going to look at James here, a couple of verses. Yes, your prayers can make a difference. Why? Because the Lord honors our prayers, because the Lord is faithful. Starting in verse 15, James chapter 5, verse 15. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Physical deliverance. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, when you believe this, when you take this by faith, that's going to encourage you to pray without ceasing, because you know God says, your prayers make a huge difference. That's the Johnson translation of this verse. And who does he use as an example? Elijah, who prayed and it stopped raining and prayed again in 3.5 years and it prayed again. Or it rained again, excuse me. Verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, don't think that Elijah was anyone special. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now I use the illustration, you can pray for the weather. And God honors that many times. When it's vacation Bible school season, when it's a picnic, when you have a need. Now, oftentimes we can pray to consume it upon our lusts, right? If I could win the lottery or the Powerball or something like that, God doesn't honor that, to consume it upon our lusts. But with a genuine, if it's His will, He can intercede and undertake. Somebody after the last session said, well, don't forget to pray according to His will. Yes, we do need that. This is not designed to be an all-inclusive prayer, lesson on prayer, simply to emphasize the fact that from beginning to end in the Scriptures, God shows and demonstrates both in verses and in illustrations with individuals and in direct commands, pray without stopping and interruption in your ongoing communication and relationship with me. But yes, we need to consider His will. And yes, we can make a difference in Nicaragua. We can make a difference in El Salvador. We can make a difference in Zambia. We can make a difference in the county fairs with our neighbor. As one man said, I want to first bring the individual or the lost before the throne of God, before I bring that individual to the gospel of Jesus Christ so that God can do His work in advance. Again, God is faithful. Tonight we want to focus on the fact that when you experience trials or need help or you need strength and wisdom, pray without ceasing. Now, what do I mean here? In difficulties, when your life is unsettled, when you're going through difficult, hard times, don't at that time stop praying. Continue earnestly in prayer. Now, to see this, go with me to 2 Samuel 22. Go to the Old Testament first, 2 Samuel 22. Now, David is our illustration in 2 Samuel 22. And he's been hunted like a dog by Saul. He's had fights and battles with the Philistines and other individuals. He has led a very difficult life since the day the Lord used Samuel, poured oil on his head and said, you are the next king. And when Saul found that out, he hunted him. He sought to kill him with a spear himself. He sent armies after him. And he had trials. He had difficulties. He had need of wisdom. And this is what he says in song, 2 Samuel 22, verse 1 and following. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, he focuses on the Lord, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. That's who the Lord was to David. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. Here's verse 4. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And you could add in there, my difficulties, my trials, my anxieties. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry entered His ears. What did he do in his difficulty? In my distress, verse 7, I called upon the Lord. Verse 4, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. He's focusing on the character of the Lord, the ability of the Lord, the protection of the Lord, the deliverance of the Lord. And he says, I will call on him. I did call on him and he gave me deliverance. I.e., in the context, he gave him physical deliverance. How he works in your situation, that's his prerogative as the sovereign, righteous God of the universe. I don't know. But our responsibility is to communicate with him. Lord, I have a need. I'm unemployed. I have a difficulty. Lord, direct my steps, my paths. I trust you for my daily bread. Lord, undertake for an interview, for some means. You cry to him. Again, verse 7. In my distress. Substitute there for what's been going on in your life lately as far as hardship, difficulty, trials. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. My cry entered his ears. And then he goes on to say some things about God was faithful to him. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 6. Now, if you would like to, you can write down a passage in your notes. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The whole chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I encourage you to read that at your leisure. We're not going there right now. We're going to Psalm 6. But if you read 2 Chronicles 20, you'll see how Jehoshaphat is delivered. And in their prayers, they go before the Lord in their total helplessness. It's a great message. And God delivers them from these hundreds of thousands of soldiers that have come upon them to destroy them. Very encouraging. Psalm 6, verse 8. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Do you ever go to the Lord when you're crying? Now, of course, maybe they're not physical tears coming down your face, but you're crying out in your heart. You're very struggling with something emotionally, physically, relationally. You've got a hardship. And you weep to the Lord. Lord, I can't. This is so hard. This is so difficult. I don't want to whine and pout and complain, but I need to talk to you about this. Have you done that? It's a great therapy. It gets to right at the soul of your issue, and you go right to the one who can help. Verse 9. The Lord has heard my supplication. That's personal request for prayers. The Lord will receive my prayer. He has confidence. In his crying, in his heartache, he goes to the source, the one that can help, and he knows he'll respond. Psalm 18. Please, turn to Psalm 18. Now again, there's dozens of these in the Scriptures. And I just want to show you how they're responding to him. This shows the inner. Now again, they respond first in the character of the Lord and what he has to offer. Verse 1, chapter 18. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, if you have a big God, let me tell you, you will have small trials. Period. Big God, small trials. Little God, big trials. Why? Because you're measuring him in light of time. You're measuring him in light of your circumstance. You're measuring him in light of what you can do. Big God can take care. Look at these adjectives or these descriptions. My Lord, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength. I trust you, my shield, horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Boy, meditate on your God. Here's his response, verse 3. I will call upon the Lord, whom is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The pains of death surrounded me. The floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. Boy, he was having some difficult times. Verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. Now remember, they always went to the temple for a physical place of worship because the believer in the Old Testament didn't have the Holy Spirit indwelling him, and he wasn't the temple of the living God like you and I are. So we don't have to go to His temple. We are His temple. We worship directly from the Holy Spirit. In other words, the power of the Holy Spirit, and respond directly to our Savior, who never leaves us nor forsakes us in the New Testament. And my cry, the end of verse 6, came before Him, even to His ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because He was angry, and smoke went up from His nostrils, and the devouring fire from His mouth, and coals were kindled by it. He's using a descriptive way of how the Lord undertook and took care of His enemy and so forth. But I want you to see, He responds according to God's character in prayer. He responds in His difficulty and His distress. He cried out to the Lord. Just a couple more Psalms. Number 116, please. Number 116. Now, I've encouraged individuals, and I've done this at times, I'll write down a little note to the Lord. That's what a psalm is. Oftentimes, it's a personal response that was put to music, and they would sing it. And so these are psalms of David, of Asaph, and others who were responding to the Lord. And many times, they wrote when they were in trials and difficulties. Chapter 116, verse 1. I love you, Lord, because I love the Lord, because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear unto me. Therefore I will call upon Him as long as I live, continually. The pains of death surrounded me, the pains of Sheol laid hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore You, deliver my soul. Now again, here's according to Your will, Lord. Deliver me. Now, Your situation may be a hardship of physical, maybe emotional, maybe difficult relationally. Maybe, I'm not sure the situation. Maybe perceived or real or unknown or known. It may be an anxiety. Verse 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and He saved me. In our humility, I was brought low, and He saved me. So oftentimes in these trials, He humbles us, and He lets us go through some difficulties, like Job chapter 38, when God questions Him, where were You when I formed this world? I want You to answer these questions. And Job says, now I see You and I abhor myself. Trials can be very good. One page over, or actually it's several, to Psalm 120. Psalm 120. Here's this concept again, or this statement. Chapter 120, verse 1. In my distress. Now in our difficulty, God is looking for not independence, but dependence. Not silence or not a reaction, but a coming to Him in prayer and imploring. Verse 1. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me. Deliver my soul. So he's going to the Lord in his difficulty. You respond vertically to your horizontal situation. Don't react by the grace of God, or by the sin nature. Instead, vertically respond to the Lord in prayer. It's something that we need to learn to do. Like a little boy or little girl, when they're having difficulties and they're afraid, they run to mom's leg and hold on. Help me, help me, I'm afraid. I don't want to go in the basement, it's dark. Or little things like that. God wants to hear us. We need to go to His Word. What do You instruct me? Now again, God is looking for us to respond to Him. Now Jonah had simple instruction. What was it? Go to Nineveh. Do you remember what he said after that, when the Word of the Lord came to him? What did he say, anybody? He didn't, did he? Didn't even speak to the Lord. It was silence. Turned his back on the Lord and ran. I'm not going to do it. And finally, after a storm thrown over inside the belly of a fish, he said this. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord. Why? Because of my affliction. This was self-induced trial. Have you had any of those? Yes! If you haven't, you're deceived. Every one of us have self-induced trials. It might be the way we reacted to our mate. It might be something I did on the job. It might be the ticket I got because I was speeding. Some type of self-induced trial, and what is it? I cried out to the Lord because, broom that in your brain, because of my affliction. If you do self-induce a trial, if you are reaping what you sow, I encourage you, respond. Jonah did, but it was only with a full Nelson. God had him in a way where he called it what? Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried and you heard my voice. God had to take him where? What's that word mean? Hell. Had to take him to such miserable state that he saw himself as no hope. In fact, it goes on. I had no hope, basically. And I finally turned to the Lord and I said, Uncle, I'll listen to you. But I think, as you read the rest of the book, that he never truly repented. Never changed his attitude or mind under that. He was willing to obey for a short period of time, but he went right back to his self-pity. He went right back to his anger. And he went right back to his pattern. So God said, are you righteous to be angry with this plant? Which you didn't help, you didn't plant, you didn't cause to grow, and it died in a day, and you won't even consider Nineveh, where there's 120,000 babies? He doesn't even answer the Lord. Goes right back to the same pattern. Now, I think I act like this too on occasion. We pout, we get angry, we don't communicate with the Lord. We go down an independent silence. And so I don't personally want to go there. Do you? Nobody wants to reap what they sow. Nobody wants to go to the belly of Sheol. But the Lord is still there. He never leaves us, nor forsakes us. So, when do Christians normally pray the most? When? In trials, in difficulties. When they're beyond their control. When they're hopeless or helpless. Feeling and sensing their insufficiency. Or as we read here in Psalm 120, in my distress I cried to the Lord. So times of needs, trials, difficulties or hardships, oftentimes we're forced to our knees. And God uses that. If you are an independent person and you have a tendency not to communicate with the Lord, you may have to be brought to your knees. Now, I think God does that in all of us in different ways. He's working with us, and He'll let us sow, reap what we sow, or He'll create difficulties in our... I can't laugh. I can't help but laugh at times when I've gotten a new vehicle, or I've looked at my vehicle in a certain way, and all of a sudden somebody keys it, or a deer hits it. I got an email in Burma. A deer hit your blazer. Really? The rest of the email explained. But God uses these times. Do you know what Peter said when he was walking on the water? He took his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. One simple prayer. Lord, save me! That's a great prayer. In my distress, I called to Him and He saved me. The Lord hears me and He saves me. Here's another one. A Gentile woman. In Matthew 15:21-28, Lord, help me. Her daughter was sick and dying. And even the dogs get a little bit of crumbs from the table of the masters. And He called her a Gentile dog. And He answered her prayer and said, nobody has faith like her in all of the nation of Israel. So here, God is looking for this response. Lord, help me. I assume that she was a believer. I assume she had trusted Him. But His responsibility was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel at that time in His plan. But these simple prayers at times in difficulty, Lord, I need You. Have you ever been in a time in your life, maybe it was recently, where everything is jumbled in your mind because you're so agitated and worked up? Go with me to Psalm 94, please. Psalm 94. This is a verse that was emailed to me in Myanmar one time by my son. And I appreciated it there. Psalm 94, verse 19. 94, verse 19. In the multitude of my anxieties, within me. Psalm 94:19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me. Have you had a time recently or in your life where your mind is just racing with things? You're anxious, anxieties about everything. And you, who should I talk to? If you're a young lady or something, you call your girlfriend usually. The guy, you go out to the garage and you'll scream and yell. We sometimes have an outlet. God wants us to go to Him. Look at the finishing of the verse. Your comforts delight my soul. What are His comforts? His promises? His precepts? His character? The comforts of the Lord can delight our soul in the midst of our multitude of anxieties. Look at their personal anxieties. Where are they? They're within me. Nobody else can deal with these. But God's Word, His truth, His promises can deal with them. So, when you're going through difficulty, when you're going through trials, don't stop praying. Let me share with you a song that we sing on a kind of an irregular basis, but Lord, I need You. Just follow along as I read these words, please. Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flow my way, I turn my gaze away from You and soon forget to pray. Can I have any hands? Ah, when things are going well, when you just get a promotion at the place, or you get a job, or some, you're on cloud nine, things are going well. Ah, sometimes we forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words You long to hear. This author understood the principle of prayer and that the sin nature has a tendency to life's good, sing, have fun, let's go recreate, let's indulge, let's do our own thing, let's... But when things are difficult, oh Lord, I finally turn my anxious voice up to Him. Next stanza, Lord, I need You. When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need You. When the wind is blowing strong. Whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. How long? Always. Lord, I need You. Personal choice. Lord, I need You. That's humility. Lord, help me to remember I'm weak, but You are strong. I cannot sing apart from You, for Lord, You are my song. Although I'm prone to wander and boast in all I do, Lord, keep my eyes turned upward so I depend on You. Lord, I need You. That's the principle. So as we wrap up this devotional here, are you willing to learn to pray without ceasing? Are you willing to learn? It takes time. We often fall short in God's desire to pray without ceasing. But you can grow by His grace, through personal responses to Him, by spending time with Him, by setting time aside with Him, even like I suggested last week, developing a prayer list, utilizing it, responding to the Word of God with amens. Are you willing? Are you desirous? You know, He wants us like a little child to come to Him with complete faith. Lord, I'm trusting You. I know You. I believe You. I need You. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your scriptures that instruct us. Thank You for the illustrations of David and Asaph and others in the Psalms. Thank You for the living illustrations and the characters of the Bible that they needed You and You responded to them and You answered prayer in many phenomenal ways. And thank You for those answers to prayers in our lives. Father, I just praise You and thank You and just ask that You'd undertake and direct with Nicaragua and what's going on there, that Jesus Christ be magnified and glorified and You could use them to the fullest extent to communicate both the Word of God and the Gospel in the parks, in the preaching. I thank You now that they've wrapped up just about everything and pray that You could just use Your Word. And even I ask for safety as they travel, good health as they come back, physical strength, and even if there's any open doors tonight, as I think they were going to have one more church service, and even tomorrow as they travel, that You would just open doors to share the gospel. Thank You for our loved ones. Pray for their safety once again. Even for up tonight at the Young People's Outdoor thing, even at the fair tonight and this week, that You could use Your Word and Your Gospel to draw individuals to Jesus Christ. Thank You again now. May we know how to pray without ceasing. In Christ's name, amen.